Friends, although most of you have heard me preach many times before, this is still a first sermon of sorts. I want to thank you for your support and prayers and encouragement as I begin in this new role as senior minister of our church. And if you're a guest here this morning, I'm very glad that you are here with us, and I look forward to starting this journey with you together. Over the next few weeks, we will think about where we are heading in this next season of our church life together. I've chosen Paul's letter to the Philippian church, not only because it's a personal favourite of mine, but also because it will help us to explore what it is that ought to define our church. Jesus. Above all else, I want us to be a church that is deeply shaped by Jesus, by his word, by his character, and by his mission. Of course, we are all works in progress, and I long for and pray for our church to live more and more the way that God created us and designed us and called us to live, to be a Jesus-shaped church. A church that clearly and faithfully represents Jesus in all that we do. And so we come to Philippians. If you've got a Bible, please have it open in Philippians chapter 1. That'll be helpful. The church in Philippi was in some ways quite similar to our own church here at Blacktown. Firstly, there was a diversity of people and the kinds of people who made up this church. If you read in Acts chapter 16, when Paul visits Philippi and plants the church to begin with, we read about conversions of a wealthy businesswoman, a slave girl, a prison officer, three very different people from very different cultures and contexts, people from very different backgrounds. It is not unlike the diversity we have here in the city of Blacktown and indeed our own church. We have people here from many different cultures and backgrounds and languages and educations and careers. We have, among our church family, university lecturers, lawnmowers, federal police workers, nurses, teachers, parents, grandparents, students, retirees, chief financial officers, bus, truck, and train drivers, electricians, and of course, the smartest one of us all, IKEA furniture constructors. If anyone can put the IKEA furniture together, they must be brilliant, let me tell you, let alone doing it for a job. And of course, we have people from all around our globe as part of our church. We have, of course, Australians, English, Sudanese, Sri Lankan, Indian, Chinese, Ugandan, Filipino, Nigerian, New Zealand, Fiji, South Africa, Scotland, Samoa, and I apologize, have I missed anyone? Sorry? In the Netherlands. Thank you. I was bound to miss someone, I really apologize for that. I'm going to blame Graham, actually. We are very diverse as a church family, aren't we? And that is not unlike the church in Philippi. Secondly, Paul has a very close and personal investment with the people in the church in Philippi. Throughout this letter, as we will read it over the coming weeks, it seems that he is warmer and friendlier to this church in particular than to any other church that he wrote to in the New Testament. Have a look with me at Philippians chapter 1 from verse 3. He says to them, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy." Down to verse 8, he says, "For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus." Paul loves these people. He loves them deeply. Friends, I accepted this role knowing the people of this church better than any other prospective new minister would have known you when they began. And I still accepted the role. Friends, it's been almost 3 years now that I have been here, and I have so greatly enjoyed getting to know you and to love you as a church and to love you as brothers and sisters in Christ. I have felt greatly loved and supported and encouraged as I have served and led in various capacities. And as you and I both enter this new season of church life together, I want you to know that I thank God for you. And I have committed to pray for you, both collectively as a church and individually. As I begin this new role, I share with you Paul's sentiment to the Philippian church. How I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. I love you as a church, and I'm committed to loving you in the future. Of course, any change in leadership in a church affects all of us, doesn't it? Michael led this church for the past 13 years or so, and some of you grew very close to him. And simply because I'm a different person, you will have a different relationship with me than you may have with him. Some of you will feel much closer to me than you did with Michael. Others of you will feel that you aren't quite as close to me as you were with Michael. And that's okay. Some of you will have a lot more to do with me in this role than you did in my previous role. And others of you perhaps less. And that's okay. It's not because I love you any more or any less. It's simply because we are human. And this really takes us to the heart of what I wish to say this morning on this first Sunday of this new season. Ultimately, none of what we do here as a church is about friendship. None of what we do here at church is about friendship. Now, I do hope that you make friends. But whether or not you feel that you are friends with me is actually somewhat irrelevant. Because there is something better. There is something deeper, more valuable, and more important that sits at the very center of everything that we do as a church. And it's captured in this description of Paul's relationship to the Philippian church. Have a look with me again from verse 3. See where he draws this to a point. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Partnership. And partnership in the gospel. That is a Jesus-shaped partnership. See, friends talk together. They eat together, they play together, they have morning tea after church together even. But a Jesus-shaped partnership is something much, much more than that. It is where they serve together. They sacrifice together. They give for the sake of others. And in doing so, they experience something far better, far deeper, and far more valuable than friendship. And our partnership is formed by Jesus. Verse 6, Paul says, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Friends, you and I are here this morning because of Jesus. Now, either because you know what Jesus has done for you, or because you are here wanting to find out more about what Jesus has done for you. Or perhaps somebody dragged you here to church this morning and you didn't really want to be here, but because Jesus is God, he made sure that you were here all the same. Either way, you're here because of Jesus. And Jesus is not finished with you or with me. He's not finished with the people of the city of Blacktown. He who began a good work will bring it to completion. Verse 7. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defence and confirmation of the gospel. See the word partakers there? It's actually the same word as partnership back in verse 5. We have a partnership in grace. The grace that God has given to us. We are not just friends with similar interests. We are a church of people from all over our planet, with all kinds of skills and interests, all kinds of cultural backgrounds. And even if we have nothing else in common, we are partners in grace. We have more than a friendship, so much more. We have a partnership that is formed by Jesus. He joins us together. What are we partnering in? Well, the defence and confirmation of the gospel. Or in other words, our partnership is for the mission of Jesus. Friends, I want you just to take a moment to look around the room and see who is here this morning. And think about, don't say this out loud, but think about how would you describe the kinds of people who are here? Now let me ask you this question. Again, you don't need to answer out loud. Do you think our church reflects the kind of people who live in the city of Blacktown? Do we reflect the people who live among us? At one level, yes, we do, don't we? I mean, there is a range of diversity of cultures and careers represented among us. But in other measures, we have much work to do to reach the people who live in our city. Did you know that for the past 5 years running, the suburb of Blacktown has had the highest number of births in the state of New South Wales? Someone's got to be congratulated for that, don't they, Diamond? There are more babies born to people who live in Blacktown than anywhere else in our state. And I think we're second in the country. That's huge, isn't it? Did you know that 53% of households in our suburb speak a language other than English at home? More than half. And that 52% of people who live in the suburb of Blacktown are aged 34 or under. I just scrape in there. I was having breakfast with my 4-year-old Emily this morning, and for some reason we were talking about how old people were and so on, and she said, "How old are you, Dad?" I said, "I'm 34." And she looks at me and goes, "Dad, can you count that high?" What a way to feel old. This step makes me feel a bit younger again. Friends, how are we going to share the good news of Jesus with the people who live among us? It's going to take significant work for us as a church to better reach those we live amongst. Now, no church can or should seek to maintain a status quo. We are in a partnership that's shaped by Jesus. We are on a mission together, and we will need to change to be more effective, to connect with, to care for, and to share the good news of Jesus with the city of Blacktown. Now, I know that some of you are quite scared of change. And you might have been really glad to hear that I was going to be our next senior minister because it meant somewhat less change. I mean, you knew me. Hopefully you trust me. And you may be hoping that largely things will stay the same as they are. And if that's you, firstly, I love you. And secondly, I want to say that you will likely feel that change might come too quickly. But because I have been here for nearly 3 years, I also know that there are people in this room this morning who are very, very keen for change, who want things to be quite different. And in the coming months, if that's you, you will likely feel that we are changing too slowly. And it is good for all of us to know that both groups of people sit in this room this morning. They all exist. Friends, if our partnership exists for the mission of Jesus, then we cannot stay as we are. We will need to think and plan and pray for how we change in ways that help us to reach our city. But neither are we looking to knock down the building and start again. Wardens will be very glad to know that. There is much here that will remain the same. Jesus is still our King and Saviour. Graham is still our Assistant Minister. And I said this morning, I am absolutely not closing down the 8 o'clock service. You guys almost sounded happier than they did. I'm not shutting down the 10 o'clock service either, you'll be glad to know. So what will change then? Well, it seems to me that our partnership will succeed with some focused direction on what we are going to do next. The demographics of Blacktown suggest that we ought to think and plan and pray and work hard to better connect with those with two key demographics. Firstly, young families. And secondly, those from non-English speaking backgrounds. Now, let me be clear. This is certainly not to neglect other people inside or outside the church. If you are here as an older person who only speaks English, we love you, okay? We care for you, we value you, and we will continue to encourage you to grow deeply with Jesus. We are not neglecting you by any means. But we also want to work hard at focusing our limited resources, our time and money and energy, to reach as many people as possible with the good news of Jesus. And in our context in the city of Blacktown, as we look at who lives here, we want this church to be as accessible and engaging as possible for as many people as possible. If our partnership is for the mission of Jesus, then we want to see as many people come to know Jesus as Lord and Saviour. And we are not yet a church large enough to reach every single key demographic. I know there have been a number of questions that people have been asking in the background about our staffing, and specifically around who will replace me in my now previous role in youth and children's ministry. Let me say a couple of things to this morning. Firstly, I want to say thank you to those who support our church financially. Your financial partnership enables us to have this building and to continue to maintain it and to have staff to lead our church. So thank you very much. Secondly, I think it's important for people to know our present financial circumstances. We are currently tracking about $50,000 behind budget this year. That's a large amount. Now, it would have been a much more pressing concern if Michael hadn't retired. Thank you, Michael. But as it is, we are more limited in the kinds of new staff appointments that we are able to make for next year. And thirdly, Our plan for 2019 is that we might employ two new part-time staff members, a part-time children's ministry worker and a part-time youth ministry worker. Now, I want to be clear, the intention is not to hire somebody to go and do this work for us. Rather, they will be in partnership with us. They will help us to focus our efforts on these key demographics of the people who live here. And so can I ask you to please pray? Pray that our finances would not limit our capacity to grow in reaching and sharing the good news of Jesus with more people. My hope is that in time both of these roles might expand to full-time positions because they are so critical to our mission here in the context of Blacktown. Of course, our other focus area is connecting with people from non-English speaking backgrounds. Some of you may be aware that we've had a small team who've been thinking about this for a number of months already and how we can make particularly our Sunday services more accessible and understandable to a wider range of people. And Anne Pounder has been leading up that team. And I hope that we might even in the future be able to create a staff position of sorts to help us further in this work in the coming years. But friends, we've only begun to scratch the surface this morning. There is much more to do. And in time, I will be seeking your input and your thoughts because this is a partnership and we are in this together. It's appropriate that Paul finishes this passage with a prayer. And I want to encourage us to make this a prayer for our partnership, a prayer for one another. Have a look with me from verse 9. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may be able, you may approve what is excellent, and so to be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Would you please pray this for me regularly? And for yourself? And for each member of our church? Because a church that prays for one another in this way will be deeply shaped by Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I want us to be bold and courageous as we dream about the future together. Now, we ought to dream about what our church could be in such a way that it would be impossible for us to achieve. Because it is impossible for us to achieve. I am no saviour. Jesus is our saviour. And this prayer of Paul's here reminds us that Jesus is the one who changes lives. Mine, yours, and every person who lives in the city of Blacktown. This is his church. We are his people. And so we ought to dream in such a way that we have no choice but to depend greatly on Jesus. If our vision for our church is small, we might start to think that we can achieve it. But we must always remember that this is God's work. And therefore we can dream big, because nothing is impossible for him. Next Thursday evening, we are gathering together for our final church prayer night for the year. And it's an opportunity for us to gather and to pray for the future of our church. To express our deep dependence on Jesus above all else. To pray that the city of Blacktown would be full of people who are made pure and blameless by the work of Jesus. To pray that they might be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, and that our church might be significant in making that great news known to every person who lives among us. Brothers and sisters, our partnership is expressed in our unity together in Jesus. It's expressed in the use of our financial resources. It's expressed in our sharing together in the mission of Jesus. Our partnership is expressed in focusing our time and energy together, in serving and sacrificing for others, in praying for one another. Our partnership is something that is far better, far deeper, far more valuable than friendship. Will you partner with me? Let's pray. Father, my prayer is that our love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, that we may be able to approve what is excellent. Father, make us pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Fill us with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. And please do this all for your glory and praise. Amen.